It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. We got one heck of a show for everyone. You know, I've been thinking about the 200 Club for so long. I'm a proud board member, trustee. And I think about the first responders. And I think about the sacrifices they make every day, every minute to make it better for all of us to protect and serve. I think about the fact that in the middle of the night, if you hear glass break and you call 911, who's coming? It's the police. It's the first responders. God forbid there's a bank robbery. Who's coming? It's the police. A two-year-old kid is at an amusement park. He's missing. Who's called? The first responders. Think about that. Someone's on ice. They break through the ice. Who's calling 911? The public. Who's coming? The first responders. God forbid there's a fire. You look out your window. You see your neighbor's house ablaze. What are you doing? You're calling 911. The police, the fire, the ambulance are responding. God forbid there's a tragic situation where someone can't breathe in the middle of the night. It's 3 o'clock. It's Christmas Eve. Who's coming? The ambulance squad, those incredible EMTs. So think about this as we talk with my great friend, President D'Amidio of the 200 Club, what the first responders do for us every day. There's never a day off. They don't have a chance to do anything, but when they get a call, they have to come out and they have to do their very best. So God bless the first responders. That's what today's show is about. Good morning, President D'Amidio.
Good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so pumped up to see you again. I know that, you know, we got the big event coming up soon on May 5. And the 200 Club, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. I've been a proud member for a number of years. And I now know you're the president, you know. And I was telling you before we started, I had Ray and Sweet Ludna Sabacha, former presidents of the organization, wonderful people. I had my great friend, your great friend, Billy Lockwood on, I mean, former president. And when I heard you were able to come on, and I know you've been on the speaking junket, you've been doing your thing out there, yeah, and, you know, giving a lot of love and support to the first responders. And I know you love the first responders. Doc, you know, I was thinking about, you have family members in the first responder community, right?
Yes, I have several. But before I do that, I want to thank you for the opportunity to have me on the show representing the 200 Club of Morris County. You have a great show here, and it's fantastic for the community. It's a great service for the community. Also, before getting started, I want to wish a happy Easter to all my Orthodox family and friends. Some of them are going through rough times right now, but I did want to acknowledge that. We have a great club, 200 Club. And we have a lot of things going on right now. It's a very exciting times for the 200 Club. And we have everything right in front of us with the celebration and everything.
No question about it. So for the listeners, you know, the reason why I was especially pumped up, I was on the treadmill this morning, and I was, like, getting a good lather up because I'm like, I knew you were going to be looking handsome as usual.
I don't know what the treadmill is, but go ahead.
You look good. I knew you were going to probably wear your blazer, and I was joking with you about it. I don't want to screw up the show and have to valet park the cars at the big event.
That's right. That's a little joke between Todd and myself, but it was back when the Birchwood was there.
Back in the day. So for the listeners, the 200 Club, I understand our organization has been in existence a half a century. That's 50 years, okay? That's a long time. Can you tell us, for the listeners' benefit, because one of the things that I know we always talk about, we get together with the guys and the ladies, and I love our organization, is the 200 Club. The public needs to know about this organization. When did it start, and what's it about?
200 Club started 50 years ago. Our mission is to provide emotional support and financial assistance to first responders, and we have different programs doing that. It's been in for 50 years. It started basically by 20 individuals, civic leaders, back in 1971, and since then we have grown. Our present membership is about 875 to 900 people, and we provide services and different programs to the first responders of Morris County. It would be anybody living in Morris County, any first responder of the county, or actually working in the county. So it's encompassing those both regiments.
So one of the interesting things is the name of the club. It's called the 200 Club.
Yes.
So how did that all start, the number 200?
A little bit confusing. little bit confusing for people. We are in awareness and visibility section now to make sure everybody knows who we are. 200 basically means there's a $200 dues each year for membership, which I'd love to talk about also about a membership drive. But that has not changed in 50 years. We still do, we still have this $200 as a membership fee.
You know what's kind of striking to me is the $200 that the folks, the civic members of our great community here in Morris County, they reached into their pocket deep. I mean, $200 back in 1971 was a lot of money.
Great point.
You know, now we're in 2022, and I don't want to bring up the word inflation.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you don't have to be economic major.
Well,
you know?
I looked up the figures, Todd.
Our figures
are $200 in 1971 is basically equal to around $1,300 to $1,400 in present times.
All right.
So they made a great sacrifice, these original founders of the organization and also the members that were way back when, in 50 years ago.
Yeah, you know what's beautiful is I was talking about, you know, the Nisavachis, Ray Nisavachi. I mean, the guy's incredible. He's one of the, I'll call him the founding father, you know.
Brother.
Yeah, he's amazing. And a sweet Lou, his son, wonderful people. Everybody that I've been so blessed to come in contact with at the 200 Club, luckily they actually let me sneak in. I guess no one realized.
Oh, gosh.
Until it was too late.
You are a major contributor, buddy.
And it's hard to get rid of me now. I'm all juiced
up. We're not getting rid of
you. Thank you.
You can't get rid of
me. Still valet park. But it depends. I heard we're having this huge event, so maybe I'll valet park as well. But the point is that there's so many wonderful people. But going back in time, the 200 Club, what was the initial mission of the organization on a very somber, serious note? Because we can never take for granted the sacrifices of the first responders and just how dangerous it is for those folks protecting and serving every second they're on the streets. To help us. Can you tell us a little bit about what was the origination? What was, sadly, kind of the concept behind the 200 Club?
Well, it's actually looking after first responders that in the line of duty, they die. And we have followed through with that for 50 years. And that's basically one of the bylaws. And that's our mission to look after these first responders and their families. Presently, we actually give $30,000 to a surviving spouse if a first responder dies in the line of duty. This is all inside the county now. It's all Morris County. To the dependents, we will give $10,000 per year up until age 18. And once they reach college years, it goes up to $15,000 a year for 4 years. So we do provide for that. Now, we also have different other programs also besides that, but that was the major impetus when it first was formed.
Yeah, you know, I have some friends in law enforcement. I have so much respect for everybody that, you know, proudly protects and serves. And it's amazing the camaraderie, the collegiality of the folks in the law enforcement, the fire department, the ambulance squads, just how they really care so much about the community. And when I learned about the 200 Club, and I'm fortunate to live in, I love Morris County. I'm raising my family. I have a business here, and there's wonderful, I think, wonderful community. I've gotten to know a lot of the law enforcement folks, the chief of police dinners I attend in the 200 Club, Big Gala, and everybody else that probably supports this great club, the 200 Club. But I was thinking about it, you know, Doc, just how sad it is if you lose these heroes. And I was like, I want to be involved, you know. God forbid, I want to be able to say to the families, like, we didn't forget about you. They paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we live, this is real. This isn't like TV. Like, these sad things happen. I mean, sadly, you turn on the news and these heroes sadly lose their lives and my heart stops. I'm like, this is a devastating loss for the community. And I was thinking, I want to get involved. So as the listeners learn more about the 200 Club and about, you know, showing the love and support for the first responders, how would they be able to reach the 200 Club? Because one of the reasons why I was so happy to have you on today is so that we can let people know about the 200 Club. Because I know when we get together, one of the things is we don't want this to be a secret. We stand proudly behind the first responders. We want to be there, God forbid there's a tragedy. We want to help the families. So if they want to reach out, you know, President Domenico, how do they reach the 200 Club?
They can reach out to the 200 Club by going on our website, the 200clubofmorriscounty.com. They could have all the information that's right on that website. They can join from that website. We also have a fantastic social media platform that has been increased in the recent years. Looney Savaccia started this. Jimmy Rizzo, past president, did a great job in implementing more of the social media. And when I came on, we got Chuck Aaron and Follow Me, to which is an organization, the management, to get the social media off the ground and really progress to this point. So if they can go to our social media platforms also, and they'll get all the information on the 200 Club.
You want to know what's really awesome from my perspective, and I'm biased, you know, because, I mean, I love the 200 Club, and I certainly love the first responders, is the extraordinary leaders of our organization. You mentioned,
incredible,
you know, that handsome rascal, James Rizzo, man. This guy, the Riz,
is connected.
The Riz, I mean, he can put together, like, a lot of people. I mean, it's pretty crazy how many people he brought into the club. I mean, I thought I can attract a little bit of an audience.
Yes.
I mean, this guy leans in, and he always comes on when he has the blazer. I mean, he's a striking gentleman, you know. But and I hope Riz is listening. my point is, that's part of the organization, which is a fun bunch of people. You mentioned Chuck Aarons. I mean, he's relatively new, but he stepped right up.
He stepped
Jersey
right
Girl
in.
Brewery, yeah. Right? Jersey Girl,
yes.
Right?
Yes, Jersey
he's
Girl.
He's a wonderful guy.
And he brought his talents from what he did in business, and he brought them to the 200 Club also. And it's just an honor to be around these past presidents. I don't want to leave anybody out, but Jimmy Gannon's one of them, and we'll go into that in a second.
Talking about Sheriff, what a guy.
What Sheriff means to all of us, but we'll go into that, I guess, in a couple of minutes. But Billy Lockwood, and I don't want to leave anybody out.
They're countless. They're countless.
Louie Nisavacha, Ray Nisavacha, my gosh, what a brother.
All of these guys, these ladies, yes, that have so
been involved. Alan Florin also.
Wonderful.
I mean, he's always there for us, and you learn from all these people, and Tom Guglielmo. You learn from these people in the past, as president, of how to do things, and it really has helped me out, and it's actually basically helping the organization out at the same time.
I mean, that's why, you know, when I was thinking about the show, and I'm thinking about the 200 Club, and I want to make sure people know about it, and I think about you, you know, President Domitio, I think about all the leaders, all the board members, the trustees, the members. It's such an array of diverse talent. I mean, I go to the board meetings when I can. I know we're going to talk about the Valor Meritorious Extravaganza coming up May 5 at the Legacy Castle, but one of the things about the organization, and this is what I bring on each week, is I don't care what you're into. Like, I love law enforcement, so this is a natural for me. I'm raising my family. I gave some examples for the audience. You take it for granted, but you really don't know how important the first responders are until you need them. I don't care what side of the aisle you are, Republican, Democrat, Independent, you're against the police, you're pro-police. God forbid there's an emergency. People are calling 911, and they want the law enforcement, the first responders, to arrive and do it as best they can. So when I think about our club, and I think about, like, we should make sure the public is aware about what goes on. But one of the fun things for me is it is a good time. You know,
yes.
I think about hanging out at La Strada. I think about getting together, you know, at the Madison Hotel. We have an annual event. And, you know, COVID, thankfully, hopefully, is in the rearview mirror. But, I mean, who knows? The variants is hard to keep track of.
We'll get through it.
We are getting through it. I want to go back to Sheriff Gannon. One of the interesting things about Sheriff Gannon, never stops for the community. I mean, he's really all over the place. I know you had a chance to speak with him on another great local show where you guys were talking about the 200 Club. But when he shows up at our meetings and he starts to regale us with really what goes on, I'm like, wow, I'm getting a bird's eye view of really what it's all about. Because for the listeners, you might read in the paper a little article about some of the crazy event, but you don't really know what goes on. But when Sheriff Gannon talks about it, your eyes are like wide open, like saucers, like that's some crazy stuff. I mean, these law enforcement and first responders are like knee deep in some, like, candidly, it's crazier than a movie. I know life is crazier than fiction.
He's on the battlegrounds, and when Sheriff Gannon talks, we listen.
We indeed.
And we do. And just a fantastic individual. He is our master of ceremonies. We're going to get into that whole thing. But he's our annual master of ceremonies at our awards dinner. and just a tremendous individual. He serves our community so well and full of compassion and dignity and professionalism.
No doubt about it. I mean, there's a brotherhood. I mean, I feel close to the sheriff like you do, and it's really an important part of our organization. So let's go back a little bit. I just touched on briefly, you have family members in the first responder community.
Yes, I have. My son-in-law is a state trooper in Delaware. That's why I reach out to spouses a lot, because I know what my daughter goes through. And as a parent, what parents go through, and we can go into that in a little bit. But I want to recognize spouses and people close to these first responders. They're on the front lines of this. You know, when these first responders go out, that's what you're looking at. And it's not an easy situation, and sometimes it's full of anguish. My son, my youngest son, was served in the Border Patrol in for 7 years on McAllen, Texas. It is the busiest sector of the country.
Hold on. Right there on the border?
Well, my gosh. He was right in the weeds and the river and everything else.
Wow.
It's a different world down there. I've had the opportunity 6 or 7 times to be right on the border, so I know what it's all about and what these Border Patrol agents go through. I love every one of them. I'm so proud of them and what they're going through. And my son did serve 7 years. Now he's moving on to Homeland Security Investigations. He's in training right now in Georgia, and then he's going back to McAllen, Texas, which is basically ground zero for all the problems we have on the southern border.
Yeah, I know before we started the show, we were talking a little bit. I mean, we know each other well. You're really an interesting guy. And you were telling me you were able to address some of the folks down there at the border. Right, you
what an honor I had. My son did get sick at one time. We went through a little tough time, my wife and myself. He was sick and had to be airlifted to San Antonio for something that happened down there on the border. And since then, I've had the opportunity twice now to go down and actually address the Border Patrol agents at muster, which is a great opportunity. And all I said to them was, be proud of what you do, and that there's millions of Americans that are supporting you to the nth degree. And I wanted to let them know that, and I think I reached them.
Well, God bless you. God bless your son. And really, I'm sorry he had a situation down there where he needed some really significant.
But he's fine now. He's doing great, and he's moving on, and now he's in. He's going to be in ICE.
Well, God bless him and everybody that's especially down at that border. It's another staggering situation. I guess you were really there and you saw it.
Yeah. When you see it firsthand, you recognize there is a problem.
Yeah. And, you know, firsthand, like I said, being in the 200 Club and really getting an understanding.
It brings you right close by.
You do. When you read some of these reports on what these heroes are doing.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing. It's awesome. And you have other family members, too, that are in the first
responder? That would be it. The two young ones. And every time, they go out, you think about what's going on. And as
so you
parent,
have your son? You have a daughter that's also doing anything?
No, my daughter is not in. She is a social worker.
Okay.
A licensed social worker in Delaware.
So you mentioned the spouses. So this is the other thing, I live in Mendham, and one of the really great things about Chief Johnson, and there's a wonderful bunch of law enforcement folks that are in Mendham, shout out to Mendham PD, is they started a program a number of years ago with the local schools. Well, they'll have law enforcement actually go and meet the kids, meet the youngsters. They could go in the squad car, they get to meet the officers, and they have these trading cards, and it's cool. So, my little kids are a little bit now into collecting, and I thought it was a wonderful idea to expose the kids at a very young age to law enforcement so they're comfortable. So their interaction isn't only, oh, my God, I'm with my dad or mom, we just got pulled over. Like, they get to know law enforcement, so
right.
They see them in a different light. But what makes it important is these are regular people, the firefighters, the ambulance squad members. And I was thinking to myself, the spouses, right? They're basically, when their loved one goes out to serve and protect so proudly and so ably, they're home. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that law enforcement individual I just met, he's got a family too. And it's like, well, what do you think their spouses are going through? What goes through your mind when you think about the spouses? Because I know you share with us. You're actually, you know, a father of a son.
I feel for them. It's almost like if you're at a football game and you're a parent watching your son or daughter playing soccer or whatever that would be, and you're watching them, you're actually going through a harder time than they are, because they actually are going through the actions and you're watching this happen in front of you. And the same thing happens really when the first responders go out. It's the spouse that's thinking, how come he didn't text me when he was supposed to, or call me when he was supposed to, or this Hurricane Ida incident that these first responders, who are receiving valor awards and well-deserved, they were out for 6, 7, 8 hours in the middle of a hurricane. And as a spouse, you would say, well, where is he and when is he coming back or her coming back? And it's always on my mind. You know, if an EMS is, you never know when things go south. You can be an ambulance racing down a highway, or a fireman going into a raging fire, just like you said before, or a policeman making a routine traffic stop, or a domestic violence problem. You never know when something will go south. And that's what makes these first responders heroes. They always go into some very potential dangerous situations. And while we're sitting back home, they're out there protecting us and protecting our families and protecting our properties.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I want to just give the audience a little bit of an introduction for the show, is we all do take these things for granted, President DiMitteo, that, you know, the public, I'm part of the public, you're part of the public. I know we love the 200 Club, we love the first responders, but we can never take for granted the fact of just how dangerous the first responder's job is. And you talk about the spouses, and, you know, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about the Gazette. You started this online thing, which I thought was a wonderful and beautiful idea. But it's once again why the listeners should really think about the sacrifices the first responders are making and their family. The ambulance squad folks, that most are all mostly volunteers, and yeah, they're leaving in the middle of the night. If there's a call at 3:30 in the morning on Christmas Eve, there's people are responding. These are volunteers going out in the middle of the night, and they're going there. Someone thinks they're having a heart attack, or someone thinks they're having a stroke, or they're having a heart attack or a stroke, or their little baby can't breathe and someone's got to do CPR. These people in the middle of the night,
they're there. Yep.
You know, same thing with the firefighters. I had Gary Lynch on, my friend Glenn Baker. I mean, we've had wonderful people on the show. These folks are heroes to me, and they should be to the listeners, because that's what it's all about, and that's what our club's about. So let's talk a little bit more about the 200 Club. I know we talked about its genesis back in 1971, and we have a storied history. How much has the club given out in our illustrious, I'm a little biased again, illustrious career?
You should be biased, and that's nothing wrong with that. We have, through membership, donations, sponsorships, we have distributed more than $5 million in 50 years to the first responder community. Again, like I said about if somebody dies in the line of duty, that's what we provide for their families, the surviving families. Scholarships, we give out scholarships every year. This year we gave out $75,000. I don't want to get into the numbers thing, but $75,000, which is significant for an organization of our size, to 15 seniors, high school seniors of first responder families. So, and one other thing, Todd, is it turns out that 12 of these, it's actually 16, there's another special award from the Nisa Vachias. But these people, three quarters of them actually serve in the local EMSs. So that has a lot to say about these young individuals that basically is our future. And we'll get into certain initiatives in a little bit, but we want to get focused more on the youth also as our 200 Club progresses in the future.
You know, the youth is amazing. You know, I had my great friend on, Steve Alford, from the Roxbury Rotary Club. I don't know if you ever met Steve, but he's quite a character. And I love the guy. And I love the organization he stands for. service over self. And I'm thinking about service over self. Then I think about our first responders. They're protecting and serving and putting their life on their line every moment they're serving. Even when they're off duty, they're kind of on, they're really on duty. And yeah, they never stop.
They're never off.
I know we're going to, you know, our big banquet's coming up on May 5th. And there was an off-duty Madison police officer, a captain, who actually saw a very, very dangerous situation with a fire, right?
Joseph Longo.
I mean, he stops.
Awesome captain.
He gets engaged. I mean, these people are really incredible. That's why I was like, wow, this show is a beautiful thing for me to show everybody how I feel. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with the good doctor. So in terms of the youth, they're amazing people. These kids are so engaged now. They're giving back at a young age. So that bodes really well for the future, because if these young kids, young adults, they're like seniors now, but they're already volunteering. They're already going out on calls to give back to the community. I'm saying that's awesome, because the kids are really fantastic. Yeah. I don't believe anything when people say the kids aren't great. I believe they truly are. I mentioned the Roxbury Rotary Club only because they have all these different clubs for the kids. And that's the beauty of our club, is we're there to step up for the first responders. How does one become eligible? So let's assume a listener is listening in and they're getting caught up now in the sauce. They're enjoying this. You know, we're on the journey of giving.
It's an exciting year.
Yeah,
it's an exciting year and exciting times for the 200 Club.
So how does one become eligible for these scholarships? And once again, I think it's an amazing part of our club that we're also giving the ability for kids that maybe can't get all the different programs through college. We could help out with scholarships. How does one become eligible?
Well, it's open to high school seniors who are connected to the first responder. They may be EMS or fire themselves, or they may be a dependent of a police officer, a fireman, or EMS member. And they go through, they actually put the application. It's all anonymous, so they're chosen. We never know names. We do know a high school, but there's five curricula that we actually follow, and they're all graded on those five curricula, and that's how we come up with a system of numbers, and that's how we determine who is eligible. I believe this year we had around 55 to 60 applications for this.
That's quite a vetting process, too. I know on our illustrious board we have some incredible folks doing really amazing work.
They're
going through
amazing.
The numerous applications. President DeMedio, we're going to be back in 30 seconds and talk more about our wonderful organization, but most importantly about the heroes, those first responders.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
So, President DeMedio, you know, once again, it's a real honor for you to talk about our amazing club, the 200 Club, and really the love and support over a half a century for the first responder community. And I know our organization is so many different folks, and I love when we all get together, because not only do we really love and support the first responders, but really care about each other, and it's just a beautiful feeling. We have a common goal and a bond. You know, I know you. This Lori Richmond that's been doing amazing work for us.
Lori Richmond.
Yeah, Lori, tell us a little about Lori Richmond.
What an incredible human being. She is most responsible for a lot of things and most things that happen in the 200 Club, the organization, the reaching out to members, reaching out to the different fire, police, and the EMS members. She is most responsible for organizing this 50th celebration, which we'll go into in a minute, I guess. Just an incredible. She's been doing this for 38 years. She's the go-to person for the 200 Club. For me personally, she helps me each and every day in providing my service to the 200 Club. Always dotting my I's and crossing my T's. Make sure I do everything in the right order. So I just want to, thanks for bringing her name up. because she's an incredible person.
You know, the 200 Club, and for the listeners, everybody volunteers their time. I mean, the hours are countless. I mean, you know, President Domitio, you put so much effort into the club over the many years you've been involved. Now that you've assumed the mantle of presidency from our great friend, you know, former President Rizzo, Chairman Rizzo, and all the other great leaders, everyone should know, everybody involved in our board, these are volunteers. These are people mm-hmm. taking time out of their very busy day. A lot of successful people are really involved, and it's the common goal is what can we do to get the word out on the street about the 200 Club?
We want
to make sure the first responders know we got your back. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. The 200 Club is always there for you. So we have the big event coming up, you know, the 50th anniversary gala. Right.
It's a gala.
I mean, you guys have been planning this for a number of years. I know with COVID, it was hard. We couldn't have an event together. Everybody was on. It's off. And that, look, let's be realistic. It's not easy because, I mean, everybody's ready to go. Then they can't go. You got all these different restrictions. It was confusing.
There goes Lori Richmond. She's handling the whole situation.
So tell us about, you know, for the listeners, because I'm, like I said, really, I keep on checking my calendar. Is May 5 here yet? I'm ready because I really want to show the love and support and personally go up to all the first responders saying thank you for what you've done. And it's a wonderful time for the organization to celebrate each other, right, for 50 years. So let's talk about the event. Where's it going to be held this year?
The event this year is going to be at the Legacy Castle in Pompton Plains. It is our 50th. We are also honoring, besides our anniversary, honoring 35 honorees of our Valor and Meritorious Award recipients. Just incredible people. I've had the great fortune and opportunity to meet every one of them. I think there's only several that I did not meet. We put out some videos on the incidents, and through that, through my video and photography, I got to meet with them, speak with them, and just outstanding people.
Yeah.
And going beyond, the valor means that you actually go beyond your call of duty in routine work as a policeman, fire, or EMS member.
Yeah. So, for the listeners, one of the things that I just really take so much pride in, I'm so honored, is we have an annual meeting where we talk about who this year is going to get the Valor and Meritorious Award. And we take our job extraordinarily serious.
We
really do.
I
mean, you know, it's almost like a hot dog. It tastes good, but you don't want to know how it's made. I mean, but just for even the first responders, Ben, but we take it so seriously because we don't want anybody ever to be slighted. But on the other hand, we don't want to dilute how important these awards are to our organization and to the public. So to put a fine point on what a Valor Award winner is, correct me if I'm wrong, President, but that's a first responder that's doing an extraordinary act, but they're actually putting their life on the line.
Correct.
Meaning they may not get home to their loved one. They may never see their wife again, their kids, whoever it might be.
Yes.
They may unfortunately lose their life in a heroic act. That is a Valor Award. So I want to just say that again slowly. These are first responders that are going out to protect and serve us. They may never get home to their family. We take that decision, who's going to get it, each year extraordinarily serious, correct?
Yes, we do. We do our homework.
We not only do our homework, but I know there were times where we had to basically call an expert to see whether or not, in fact, would meet that level, because I know how important it is. And from my perspective, you don't want to dilute the award.
You don't want to dilute it.
You don't want to make it. It's not a participation trophy. It's like you're doing something like incredible, but it's so heroic. And then we have the Meritorious Awards. Now, these are also folks, right, that are doing extraordinary acts, albeit they didn't put their life on the line, but they're still doing something beyond the call of duty.
They're still doing it beyond the call of duty.
So when I think about...
Captain Joe Longo, who saw that fire and acted on it.
Right.
He didn't know what it was, but he investigated it, and he went over in the back, and he knew it was a fire and called it in.
So these are the other things about the first responders. They never know what they're going to encounter. You know, over the years, we had a very, very tragic accident on Route 80. I don't want to leave out the state police. There was a school bus. It was a horrendous accident. Little kids are trapped. horrible, horrible accident. And they put their lives on the line. They crawl into the bus. They do amazing things, too. So I don't want to ever people think, I don't think about this.
Well, when we say police, Todd, we mean local, state, and federal police officers. So anybody that's, watching out and with the law and, having the law followed.
Right.
That would be the police. It's kind of the whole gamut.
So for the benefit of the listeners, I mean, you've just elaborated. It's a pretty expansive list on who falls into that category. No question about that.
Also, the Office on Emergency Management. So we have a lot of different things going on that we actually cover. They're all first responders, and we're proud of each and every one of them.
We are. We're very, very proud of what they do every day to protect us. So one of the things, too, that I love when I get to learn more about, like, the backstory, you know, you mentioned Hurricane Ida. Now, Hurricane Ida was, I guess they call it, like, a century storm. I watch the Weather Channel not as much as
we're back home watching the Weather Channel, and these guys are out saving lives.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, too, that's interesting. Like, everybody wants to be a Monday morning quarterback, but you put yourself into knee-deep water in, like, crazy fast-moving water, and you're hearing cries in the middle of the night. You're poking around in the dark trying to save lives. That's what we're going to be giving out awards this year for the Hurricane Ida response. And I was like, that's crazy.
We had two different groups when that September 1st. We had a group from the group that went down to Somerset County, which is the Booton Fire and Parsippany Rescue, and also Parsippany Number 6, District Number 6. We also had the East Hanover crew, the police and fire. That rescued lives in Livingston. Actually, three police officers were saved. They were clinging onto trees. They were in the flooded area trying to save other people, which is that's the common thing. They try to save other people at any time. And that's who we honor. Plus the Madison fire and plus a couple other people, one Bud Lake incident, and also a Dover police officer.
Yeah, you know, I made a lot of notes in preparation of the show because, first of all, I don't want to.
I'm sorry, one other thing. The Whippany, team from Whippany also saved some lives there.
I don't want to leave anyone out. I know you don't.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think I got them.
Let me just go back to the Hurricane Ida, this flash flood. I mean, this is like, you know, you put on the news, but you don't realize our local first responders were in it. They were thick, knee-deep in it, literally. The Boone Fire Department, the Parsippany Fire and Rescue and Recovery Unit. I was so...
Same. They were going down 287. They had a hard time getting down 287 even to get down there.
You know what I read, which was just really startling? They saved 13 lives. Yep. 13 lives. Do you know what that means, Doc? 13 families still have their loved ones because of the first responders. And I read about the teamwork, and I'm like, this is another thing, too. You can't take for granted the training these folks do in the first responder community. They are so professional. It isn't the movies. That's real life. They're out there, and Lord knows, they don't know if they're coming back, but they know one thing. They want to save lives. And that's like an incredible thing. I also, you mentioned Livingston, East Hanover Fire Department, where there's another tragic circumstances. Rescue vehicles are getting swept away. These first responders, they saved law enforcement, two civilians. Yep. It was like,
They made a call out to the Office of Emergency Management of East Hanover and the police and the fire. What heroes. They all responded. And they saved a lot of lives right there. And also police officers. They actually saved their fellow police officers. And also I think we did the Madison Fire, but that was a difficult situation where they saved an elderly woman who would have passed. But she is alive today because of Madison Fire. That was Madison Fire. That was Madison Police. They went actually some of the police officers got took on too much smoke. And they were rescued, and then the Office on Emergency Management and also the Hanover Township Fire was there also.
So unbelievable.
It's just you get chills when you talk to these people, and they're all – they have one goal, to save lives. And it's just inspiring. And for people such as us who sit back and really – I don't wake up at night for that. You know, I don't go out in a bad weather or something like that for that. And I can't. I'm not capable of doing that. But these people, EMS, they're there and racing to the hospitals.
Yeah, I mean, also Morris County Mall, there was a homeless individual.
That was the Whitney crew.
Unbelievable.
Beautiful crew there.
The water rescue team. God bless them. We're also honoring a Dover law enforcement individual. There was an abduction going on at the Salvation Army. This individual who responded, talk about being on the front line, he's basically getting assaulted.
Yes.
But he keeps his head about himself where he's able to subdue until his other, you know, first responders come and certainly arrest that individual. Incredible. I also think, you know.
And also Michael Dolan. He was up in Bud Lake Fire.
Unbelievable. These folks, I mean, the Bud Lake, that's no question about that, too. I know we talked about these brave heroes going into smoke-filled buildings, trying to find out, can they save someone?
And some of them are not going in with the equipment that they need. The police officers in Madison, that's what they did. They went in trying to save this woman because they didn't know, but they were getting different information of who was inside, who was not inside. And they went in, and that's why they were overcome with the smoke. And they were rescued by fellow first responders, okay, to get them out of that building.
Right. I mean, it's incredible. I know a number of years ago there were some rescues on ice. I mean, people take it for granted. You know, the ice is safe to go on.
The lakes.
In Denville and some other local municipalities right here in Morris County where the law enforcement folks are actually crawling on their hands and knees trying to get to these individuals to save their lives. Right. But here's the amazing thing, and you can never take it for granted because this is one of the world's life's mysteries. It could be you the law enforcement is saving, the first responders, the firefighters rushing in to help your loved one get out of a burning building or someone overcome with smoke. Or like I said, the EMTs that do an incredible job in the middle of the night, they also, you can never take them for granted. And as the listeners hear what we're talking about, if they want to get involved in the 200 Club again, Doc, how do they reach out to the 200 Club?
They can reach out. Going to our website is the best way, 200clubofmorriscounty.com, and they'll get all their information. You mentioned the Gazette. We can go into that also. It's a new online, basically newspaper for first responders. It was actually launched to bring the first responders closer to the 200 Club so they know what's going on with the events. They have videos on there of themselves and different events that are happening in their world. We have that spouses forum that we want feedback from the spouses. And also we have a parents forum that they can actually give us feedback. So it serves in that realm. I also want to get into, if we have some time, I want to get into our big event coming up September 24th also, besides the 50th celebration on May 5th. I just want to give a shout out to Mr. Bob Bianchi, who is going to be our keynote speaker for that 50th anniversary.
Right.
It's going to be a former
Morris County prosecutor.
Correct.
Wonderful.
Correct.
Great guy, great lawyer, and it'll be an honor to have him speak on behalf of the 200 Club and show the love and
support. We have over 500 people coming, Todd.
500. That's a lot of fannies in the seats.
That's a lot of people in the seats. For our organization, that is a lot of fannies. Yeah,
it's a credit to our organization. I know you've been planning with so many other incredible.
It's an effort by a lot of people, the incredible people of 200 Club, the individuals. They're passionate, and they want us give back. I got this military phrase that I'm always hitting: "We've got your six." Because in the military, they have a terminology that in front of you is 12 o'clock position, and your position is in the middle. 3 o'clock is to your right, and left is 9. In the 6 o'clock position, which is your 6, you can't defend. It's in back of you. So I like always to give that little motto of "We've got your 6" to the first responder.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was a little confused by "We got your 6," but I know you, I understand.
Well,
what
after
you said.
I explained it to you, I think Todd, you got it right.
I think so. I still like "We got your back," though. I still like "We got the back of the first responders." But I get it. You know, it's a beautiful thing to come up. "We got your 6," and it's certainly, I think, first responders understand, you know, what that means. I know you've started a number of really exciting new initiatives for the club, right? And it all goes down to our club wants to show the love and support from all of us, from the community, to say thank you. You talked about first responders. I understand this could be September 24th of this year.
September 24th, we are planning. My good bro, Ace Gallagher, is helping me out with this. And we have a big committee helping out, a lot of individuals together, bringing their talents together. We want to have a first responder day. And also with that first responder day, we want to have a sport competition between first responders. It's an uh-oh situation. We have a home run derby. We have a cornhole championship. And we want to do it through fun, but competition. We want a little competition between the stations, between the first responders. Okay, so it's a little bit of fun. We have things for kids that day. Face painting, cotton, whatever, bands, live bands we're going to have with a sound stage, a professional sound stage. We have booths set up and food trucks. So it's going to be a big occasion. It's going to be at a park in Hanover Township. Hanover Township has that this year. Each year we hope to have this. This is our first one. We hope to have this at different places, different towns. Next year we'll be at a different town than Hanover Township.
Yeah, no, I know. Ace Gallagher, I met him recently.
Fantastic individual.
Wonderful guy, man.
Wonderful.
He's really all in.
Just like Jimmy Gannon, I should say Sheriff, he's in on everything. He puts us 100% into all the efforts, okay? And Lori Richmond and myself, through the years, we were back and forth talking about this first responder day. Is it possible what we can do? So when I came on as president, I figured I wanted to put this initiative through, and I think it's going to be a great day.
It is. You know, I would be remiss. You know, I'm our great friend Frank Zuppa. Frank Zuppa, I mean,
Frank
this
Zuppa,
man. No,
he's my guy.
Talk about the bylaws. I mean, this guy's got like he's got like an encyclopedic memory, and it's like, okay, Frank, what do you think?
What can we do?
Can we do it or can't do it?
What can we do?
Just hopefully Frank's listening, and I'm looking forward to having a refreshment with Frank and the whole team too.
I'm also going to mention something different than that. We have also Susan Saravala. Our senior vice president is organizing and launching this this for 18 to 26 year olds. We're trying to get them incorporated into the 200 Club a little bit. So we have a career mentoring program that we are starting this year, and it's going to be into next year mostly. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that.
How about Big Joe Annarone, that guy, Big Joe? He's a wonderful guy too. Yeah, Joe is really committed as well to our great organization. I probably mispronounced his name. My apologies, Joe. It's hard to spell his name, too, but he's a wonderful guy, Big Joe. You talk about some of these new initiatives, and you just touched a little bit on the mentoring program that you're basically, you took, you know, the initiative, right, to try to develop this mentoring. What does that mean from the 200 Club's perspective to get these young individuals involved?
Well, we have to get younger. And that's kind of a peeve, but we are getting on in age, certain of us, and we need the young people, and we need the enthusiasm. So that's why we're trying to reach out to younger people. We do this through scholarships also, and those people may be one of these in that category of 18 to 26 that want to take advantage of this program. But it's basically to get younger people involved with the 200 Club so they know who we are. And that is always going back to that awareness and visibility that people do not know. A lot of people do not know the 200 Club, and that's what we have to change. And that's what we are trying to change through the social media, through everything that we do, and just get people more on board of what we are, because there's certain things that there's great organizations out there that you can donate to. But this organization, this is a county organization. All monies distributed inside our county. This is Morris County, one of the, as you say, is a great county, one of the greatest in the country. But the money stays here. The organization stays here. So I think that separates us a little bit from something else. You might be Tunnels to Towers, fantastic organization. But if you're looking for just to become part of an organization that's doing and providing well to our first responders, give 200 Club of Morris County a shot.
Yeah, and that's one of the things for the listeners is I wanted them to know more about the club, and that's why I was so excited to have you come on, just to talk about what we stand for, because I want everybody to know we're available. This club is available. It's very diverse. We're getting younger, which is important, right? Because, I mean, I realize we're all getting a little bit older.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, you know, we can fool Mother Nature a little bit, but old man time does catch up with all of us. So, you know, you started this new idea, this Gazette for the spouses. Are you getting some good feedback from that?
We're trying to get a lot of feedback from that. You have to delegate. As a leader to different people, because you can't do it all. It can't be in one or two shoulders here. We have to expand that. So we have different people helping out, different sections. Joanne De Palma is going to be reaching out to spouses and getting their feedback. There's a thing called Mad Libs that you actually encourage speaking by giving them the first line of a sentence, right? And then I didn't know about this until my daughter says, I can't believe you don't know about this thing. Okay, but it's something like that, just to reach out. I want to give them a voice. The 200 Club wants, we're not forgetting the spouses and the parents because, again, like I said before, they are on the front lines each and every day.
You know what I find really also a beautiful part of the club is the scholarships. I've been at a number of these events where these really intelligent
kids.
I mean,
God.
They stand up, they give an acceptance speech. You know, they're very, very proud. The parents, oh my God, talk about a proud parent. Oh. I mean, these parents, you could see them beaming, you know, they're smiling ear to ear.
Yeah.
And the kids are genuinely proud about the award they're getting. And I know there's times we actually get thank you letters
yes.
from the recipients. I know, you know, Chief Cimenti does a wonderful job and his son got an award. And I was like, you know, that was a beautiful young man. He really captured what I was hoping mm-hmm. for, which is not just a thank you, but the meaning behind it.
Meaning.
Well, yeah. What are your thoughts about when you go to the scholarship dinners?
Well, we not having a scholarship dinner is issue. We're having actually an event at the auditorium at the Public Safety Training Academy. In the past, we've had some dinners. It's just a phenomenal event. We are pinpointing and celebrating the receiving of a scholarship award. Outstanding individuals. And again, going back to what I like to do, I'm honored to do, I do a lot of videotaping, and I meet every one of them. And every one of them is outstanding. Every one of them has aspirations that biomedical, engineering, whatever, medical field, physician's assistant. They have so much direction and just outstanding.
Yeah, they really are.
And when you feel that as an older person, you see these young people like this, like you said before, Todd, you feel like, you know what? I think we are in good hands. You know, I think we can get through this or any difficult time. But it's going to take them to do it.
Yeah, they're incredible leaders, these young folks. I mean, I'm also just really, like, impressed by they got their stuff together, and they're young.
Yeah.
And these are just like seniors. They're giving back already. They're motivated. And they're all part of also the first responder. These are their kids.
Right.
And I'm like, the first responders
raised well.
Really incredibly well, because they're well-grounded, like I said. I think it's an awesome thing.
And again, when you find out, Todd, that these people are actually going out on emergency calls to save people's lives at that young age, we should take examples of that, because EMS is having a little difficult time now getting volunteers. There's a lot of people doing other things and things. And if you do have that, just give a shout out. The EMS, they need people. They need volunteers. It's all volunteer. So we want to be saved. We want these people saving us. So hopefully there are younger people and people will be more involved with becoming EMS.
It's wonderful.
Members.
My brother Scott's been involved for many
incredible.
Years. He's an incredible young man, great lawyer, and gives back and finds the time. And I was always so impressed, like in the middle of the night, he would go out on these calls and then show up at work at 7:38 in the morning. I'd be like, Scott, how the heck did you wake up? He's like, I didn't really sleep. I'm like, but that's the commitment of the first responders. These ambulance squads are really just remarkable what they do every day to protect us all. Because I gave some examples, but let's just call it the way it is. There could be a listener today who's like, wait a minute, that just, I know that. I just saw they showed up at my house. My husband wasn't breathing, or my child wasn't breathing, or someone was having a stroke. And they show up, and listen, that's the way it is. When you call 911, you're praying, and it seems like an eternity before they show up. And they show up very fast and very professional and very caring. But that's what we're talking about, the first responders. And, you know, you drive around the community and you see the signs, volunteers needed. Everyone that's listening, if you have time, step up and try to help the volunteer squad, the fire department. I think it's important. You know, I see law enforcement all over the place. I mean, you know, I work in Denver. I'm raising my family in Mendham, and you see police out doing their job. And I go out of my way because I never take for granted their sacrifice. And I say thank you. And you would be surprised just saying thank you. The law enforcement individuals are like, thank you so much. You have a nice day, too. And it makes me feel good because I don't want the police also not to feel there's such a huge thank you out there. And that's what the 200 Club's about.
Yep. Sometimes they're under scrutiny. We have a great situation in Morris County that we don't have this. But us, we want to make sure that they know that we are behind them 100%. You know, when you do a routine traffic stop, like I said before, as a policeman, that could go bad. So these people they always have to be focused. They always have to be on edge. They always have to know that something could turn real fast.
Well, that's the reason why we have our organization, God forbid, because it is so dangerous. And the public at times doesn't appreciate the work that goes in, the training, the ability to make split-second decisions when you don't know if it's going to go bad because you don't know who you're pulling over. You could pull someone over in the middle of the night. You don't know if they're high on drugs. You don't know if they have a weapon. You don't know what you're encountering. And they go over to a car, and many times, and they also have to be extraordinarily alert. So, President DiMitteo, I just want to say God bless you for your passion for the organization. It's been one of the real honors having you on the show today.
Thank you, Todd.
I know you came on. I know that you have a crazy commitment, all the different schedules, getting ready for the big event. But I once again say God bless our 200 Club and what they stand for. I want to just conclude this really important show. I love Spider-Man. I'm blessed with two little boys. And Spider-Man 2 has a scene. It's when Spider-Man basically is not sure he wants to be Spider-Man anymore. And Aunt May is talking to Henry. Henry's a little boy who loves Spider-Man. He's like, where's Spider-Man? And Aunt May starts to talk about the fact that everyone knows a hero when they see it. Everyone knows when someone's really being a hero. And I think about that. I think there's a line in this movie, Spider-Man 2. It talks about the fact that people line up in the rain to watch or see a hero. They want a glimpse. When you see the police, when you see the firefighters, when you see the EMTs, they're heroes. Give them a big thank you. Say, God bless you. It means the world that you're there protecting and serving. Never take it for granted. Never, ever. Join the 200 Club. Step up. See what this organization is about. You will be so happy you did. If you like the show, go on the ToddLeonardShow.com website. Like us on Facebook. It's always an honor to bring on folks like Dr. DiMitteo, President DiMitteo. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to grow. I love the show. I love the journey of giving back. Please tune in next Sunday. And once again, God bless the first responders.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.